Hello, and thank you everyone for joining us here on This Needs to Be Said. Our friend, attorney Ron Drescher, is here, and he's talking about what we were, actually he's continuing the conversation. We were talking about his upcoming book, The Book Is Here. So he's talking with us about his book today, The Single Mom's Guide to Financial Recovery. And you got a preview of that in the last interview I did with him as he was telling us women how we are able to get back on our feet, and he has that mapped out for us in the book. And I remember commenting that I wish I had something like this when my children were younger, because there just were not any tools to help me recover. You were figuring it out, and life was just happening. So as he is an attorney, he's coming to help women, especially in this case, to be able to look and receive, look for the help that we need, and to be open to receiving it. And that is not over our head, making it very plain for us to be able to get the help and feel good about that. So I want to welcome back to This Needs to Be Said, Attorney Ronald Drescher. How are you?
I'm great, Catherine. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming back. Now, you were listening to me go on a bit about the book, so I just want to make sure I'm hitting the points just right. Did I learn good last time when we talked?
That was perfect. That was a great introduction into what I'm trying to accomplish with my book.
Awesome. Well, let's just jump right into it. No more of me talking. I'm excited. The book is here, and you're ready to let people get a copy.
You know, what I'm doing with this book is I'm trying to reach women who might have preconceived ideas about bankruptcy and negative aspects of bankruptcy, and how that will stop them from taking the steps that are available to help them out of a really challenging situation. Mm-hmm. So the once you get past the introduction, the first chapter is three sneaky, snarly, slimy myths about bankruptcy.
Oh God!
And I use those words.
They feel creepy.
Yeah, I use those words because so many times people who are struggling will listen to a friend or a family member or somebody on the radio or television and be kind of frightened off or shamed out of taking steps that would change their life for the better and really give them a pathway to a much better future. So I want to beat up on the myths, because
right,
I think those are what's holding people back.
My mouth is wide open. We are doing radio, but I'm like, yeah, people will shame you out of getting the help that you need. And it just seems like it's never good news when you're in a bad place. Like, how do you get up from here if it's just all bad? You know, how do people just one day have it better again without getting the help? You know, so you do have to hide, or, you know, your shame. You know, if you get help, you're hiding and lying and whatever you're trying to do to cover, so people don't know that you went to get help or that you received certain help. So, yeah. Beat them up. So are you going to hit on those, you said slimy, snarl?
The three sneaky, snarly, slimy myths. The first one is that you'll lose everything. Mm. That's the first myth. And that's simply not true. Most of the time, in fact, more than 90% of the people who file bankruptcy don't lose anything. Don't lose any of their assets. Mm-hmm. And the time before the bankruptcy and the time after the bankruptcy are fairly seamless as far as, you know, their lives go, as far as keeping their car, keeping their furniture, keeping their home. They get to do it. So they don't even notice any difference there. Of course, they're going to notice that they don't need to make payments on crippling debt, and the garnishment goes away, and the lawsuits go away, and so they notice that, but they don't really have any any profound change in the way they're living their lives as far as assets. So that's the first myth that I wanted to combat. The second myth is
that you said that. Mm-hmm.
Is that filing for bankruptcy is a personal failing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, an interesting statistic that I discuss in the book is that roughly 57% of bankruptcies in 2009 were a result of medical bills. And so, I mean, that's just a case where, you can't afford health insurance, or even if you afford health insurance, the deductibles and the copays are just overwhelming. You know, so many people have a health insurance plan that is a catastrophic plan, so that, you know, if you get into a terrible accident and you're sent over to the emergency room, and you know you have a $20,000 procedure that, you know, that's going to be covered. But you know what? That's going to leave you with a $4,000 or $5,000 deductible. And that may not help you that much, because you may not have the money to pay that. And so you're going to find yourself filing for bankruptcy anyway. So hard to argue that if you've got a massive health problem, that's a personal failure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just people get laid off all the time in this economy. That's not their fault if a corporation decides that they want to maximize profits for shareholders, so they cut workers and workers' benefits. I mean, it's hard to argue that that's a personal failure. So, but that is a myth that people say, oh, I can't consider bankruptcy because I wouldn't be able to face myself. But and that's a shame, because most of the time, it doesn't work that way. And then the third myth is that bankruptcy will ruin your financial future. But the real truth is that for most people, bankruptcy will cause their credit scores to increase and improve. So many people say, oh, well, my dad or my uncle or my cousin said, if I file bankruptcy, I'll never be able to get credit the rest of my life. I hear that over and over and over again.
Oh, wow.
But the truth is, if you do the right things in a year or two after your bankruptcy, your credit score will be much higher than it was before you went into bankruptcy, and you can start getting, you know, cars and credit cards that you'll use responsibly, where before the bankruptcy you just didn't have that opportunity. So those are three myths that I feel are really important to tackle, so that the people that this book is directed to can get into it and say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I they're speaking to me, because I've had these fears. So, all right, that's chapter one.
Oh, that's just getting in the beginning. Listen, let's pause for a second. I want you to tell people how they can connect with you to get a copy of The Single Mom's Guide to Financial Recovery before we go any further.
Well, they can call at our office at 410-484-9000, or you could go on our website at dreschlaw.com. That's dreschlaw.com. And those are the easiest ways to get the copy. And I'm happy to send it out to you.
Awesome. It sounds like it's going to help so many people. Women, our roles have changed so much over the years that we are heads of households, whether by choice or by force, and you are trying to juggle everything on yourself, so you may find yourself coming up short. And again, you know, with any other myth that's out there or thing that may be true, you know, what superior or what we can be allowed to do as women, you're putting in our hands a system that's going to help us navigate that, not make it, you know, all go away, because life is going to happen. We're going to have obstacles, but you're helping us to confidently get over that. And it just sounds like a lot of women are going to be helped with this.
something that I've discovered about bankruptcy, and so many people think that only clients who have been irresponsible with debt and credit cards, only they're the ones who file bankruptcy. But what I've discovered is that the vast majority of people who file bankruptcy, when they took on a debt, they had a plan. They had a plan for paying that debt, either through their work or through their business, or because they're married, they're in a two-income family. So they've got a plan, and they stick to the plan, most people. It's only when the plan goes awry, almost always through no fault of their own, they get laid off, they get sick, they get injured, they get divorced, their business goes under because, you know, they're running a mom-and-pop convenience store and Royal Farm comes in across the street. It's only when their plan goes awry that people find themselves unable to pay their debts, and that's when they need to get help. And I feel like that's a very important thing for clients and potential clients to keep in mind, that give yourself credit for having made a plan. And, mm-hmm. But if the plan doesn't go the way you wanted it to go, find out what your options are. And it's there's no shame in getting help.
Not at all. And since you've been coming on the show, it has given me a different perspective of attorneys, because you do feel like you've been bad. You did something wrong. You're now like in the principal's office. Something, you know, I did put me here. And it's just not that cut and dry in life. You know, it's a mix of life happening. And you have brought a calm to me with being able to say, okay, attorneys aren't trying to get me, and I didn't necessarily do something bad, and I can learn something. And they do care, because every time you've come on the show to talk about any aspect of bankruptcy, you've always had the human factor in there. So, again, I just think I may really be trying to sell your book here, but I just think that this is amazing to me, and it's just like, so much has changed in 20 years. Where were you 20 years ago when I needed this, you know? But I'm glad it's here, and I know it's going to help so many.
You said something a couple of minutes ago, and this isn't really germane to my book, but I think it's germane to the overall experience that women are having in the world. You know, 125 years ago, which isn't that long ago in the scheme of things, it was illegal for women to wear pants.
Mm-hmm.
Women got arrested. An 80-year-old woman got arrested in the 1880s for wearing pants in public. And, and that's the way it used to be. But now, the women they need to run families and make decisions, and that's the way it should be. And so that I think women need to have solutions to the problems that face them in the modern world.
That's what I was trying to say. You said that perfectly. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you just gave us the tip of the iceberg. You said that was chapter one. We have run out of time. So we're going to have you come back and continue sharing with us about the book, how people are responding to it, and what else we can gain from it if we haven't already gotten our copy. Okay?
That would be my pleasure. I would love to come back.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And until next time, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Catherine. Appreciate it.